Today on Real Radio.
So you know what easy is? Easy is what all your non-believing friends are doing right now. That's easy. You want to be a Christian? You better put your helmet on. Hey, listen, anybody can be a non-believer. I used to be one.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series now called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Pastor Jack's been delivering a series within a series, if you will, called The Holy Spirit at Work in You. Now, so far, we've learned about some of the gifts of the Spirit, but did you know that the Holy Spirit has worked in the lives of God's people in both the Old and the New Testaments? That might be a new thought for you. And if you're a true believer, He is indeed at work in you as well. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now continuing his mini-series called The Holy Spirit at Work in You.
Isaiah says, I have nothing in me, for I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King. Oh, listen, this is revival. The Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Listen to this, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then that's Isaiah, said, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people. Church, that's awesome. Can somebody say amen? That gets me pumped up. Isaiah strutting around the palace. His old friend, the king, drops dead. Isaiah realizes, wow, my world just got a big earthquake shake up. And he saw a vision of heaven. He sees the Lord. And then he says, woe is me. I'm undone. God is holy. I'm not. And he's overwhelmed with his weakness of his inability. And note this, the atonement that takes place. A seraphim brings over the coals, signifying the burnt offering. By the way, Jesus Christ is our burnt offering. And Isaiah's purged, he's made clean, declared pure, by the way, by the Lord. And the Lord says, all right, go. What a great thing. Personal revival. If that happens in your life and my life, we are going to be in a church experiencing revival. And if that happens, here's what truly takes place. If we experience revival, then other churches will begin to experience revival around us. And then other churches in other counties. Can you imagine a revival breaking out in LA County? Hey, listen, it's not too far-fetched. Some of the greatest works of recent history has been God's work in the greater Los Angeles area. Seriously, the Azusa Street Revival. Think of that. Amazing things have happened. Southern California has a history of receiving God's favor and grace. Don't you think it's time? Oh, I think it's time. I think it's time for a revolution in the Spirit. God wants to do something. Are we desperate enough to say, God, I can't do it, but you can do it. I know you can. And God says, all right, go. And if you ask the Lord, Lord, fill me, then here's what he's expecting you to do. You got to get up and you got to go. He wants you to go. So you can't say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. All right, God, somebody out there. Send somebody out there, God. He's not going to fill you. It's like giving a little kid an Indianapolis Indy car or a Formula One car. He can't drive that thing. You should give that to me. A little kid needs a little push car that goes around town, you know? We need a balance, though, in the body of Christ regarding his Bible. Listen carefully. You guys are Bible students, and I appreciate that. But we need to be careful. We can get so caught up in only doing Bible study and never leaning upon the Holy Spirit that we get so academically sterile that we can become so committed to being right that we become dead right with no Holy Spirit being freed in our lives. There's a balance. We need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He wants to do radical stuff. We were just praying before the service tonight, and I'm concerned about this. We have Sunday services, and they're almost down to the minute, right? Because there's so much going on. We got to move thousands of cars out and back in and get people in and out. That's a dangerous thing. That really concerns me. Because the Holy Spirit, what if he wants to do something? Oh, listen, some of you will never come back after I say this, but what if, like in Russia and in other places in the world where we've preached the gospel, the people will not leave for 3 hours? They won't go. What if that happened here next Sunday? Oh, you'd say, man, that place is nuts. You know what? I like that kind of nuts. The Holy Spirit is often, listen, he's always a gentleman. The Holy Spirit does everything decently and in order. But what if he began to pour out his Holy Spirit like some of the great movements where there were prayer meetings that it was a 1 hour prayer meeting and they wound up going 6 hours and 8 hours. And then some of them went for days. And England and in America, prayer meetings began to break out. And the police department, the NYPD in early turn of the century, New York, they had to lay off the police department in Manhattan because crime went to zero because a revival broke out. That's American history. Imagine that. Imagine that. He wants to do amazing things. The Bible tells us in Micah 3, verse 8, I am full of power by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, says Micah. So how do we get this power? Yes, we recognize. Yes, we stand up to receive it. Yes, we ask him, and yes, we go expectantly. The beautiful thing is to realize this, that God the Holy Spirit, he's here with us. He's promised to be everywhere where the Word of God is exalted in a teaching sense, but the Bible teaches us that he's everywhere. More on that in a moment. Luke chapter 11, mark it down. This is a great verse, passage of Scripture, Mark 11. Now look, church, if you were not here last week, you missed it. Where were you? Listen, Luke 11 is amazing because Jesus is speaking to believers already. And you, being a Christian, the Holy Spirit, the moment you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit moved inside you. Imagine, the door of your heart opened up and he drove on in and the door closed and he set up house. And he ain't leaving. That's why when you walk away from God, you're so miserable. He's not going. He's in there. He's sealed you, the Bible says, into the day of redemption. But the powerment of the Holy Spirit, we talked about him coming upon you. Now regarding you receiving that power, what we're talking about tonight, Luke 11, verse 9 says, Jesus said it. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Well, no. Unless you're really a sick person, you don't do that. Or if he asks for you a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then being evil, the word evil is not evil like you think, evil. It's if you then being human and you know how to give good gifts to your kids, to your children, watch the contrast. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who, what? Ask. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. Okay, ask him. Are you a Christian? Yes. You have the Spirit in you. But to have the Holy Spirit's empowerment upon you for daily victory, daily ministry, for dynamic, you ask him to come upon you. And you ask over and over again. Every day you ask. Sometimes throughout the day. On Sundays, I'm asking all day long. Before service, coming out here tonight, I'm asking. And then look at this. Secondly, he's God, the omnipresent Spirit. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. In the teaching of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is said to be everywhere. At the same time, the omnipresence of God. He's not only all-powerful, he's everywhere. And the church needs his presence today. I love this topic. I love this point right here. How can you tell if the Holy Spirit is at work in your local church? We ought to ask these questions all the time. Have you ever moved to a new community and you're looking for a church? That's a tough job. Because number one, you're praying and you go, and I firmly believe, listen, I really believe what I'm about to tell you. Before you ever decide on making a church your home church, you should, in my opinion, you should go back to back weeks for at least 4 weeks to that church that you're visiting. And go to no other church but that particular church you're visiting. 4 weeks, back to back. Why? Because, listen, give God the opportunity to speak to you. Talk to people. Have you ever walked into a church somewhere and you've had it was just a bad experience? I mean, maybe this, you know, the teacher, the pastor was just like, what? I didn't understand a word he said. Or the usher didn't say hi to you. Or the greeter stepped on your foot. Or you got, somehow they put you back out in the lower 40 parking zone. Listen, go to a church, at least in my opinion, 4 weekends for a month back to back. That place. And let God speak to you. If you ain't getting nothing out of it, then you know what? You gave it 4 weeks and you move on. I think that's a good thing to do. And the beautiful thing about God, the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere, are you ready for this? He loves the diversity of the complexion of the church. If somebody comes here, and you've invited your friend, oh man, come to my church, come to my church, come to my church, and they come and they go, you know what, your church is nuts. Your pastor's a goofball. I don't like it. You know what? Don't get upset with them, because on a Friday night, think about this. Isn't Carl's Jr. packed on a Friday night? Isn't In-N-Out Burger always packed? Isn't Pizza Hut full of people? Isn't Colonel Sanders packed out? And yet they're all in the same corner of the intersections, aren't they? Why? They're all eating. Everybody's eating. The flavor's different. They're all getting nourishment. Now, granted, I'm talking about going to a church that teaches the Word of God, okay? If you go to a church that's teaching the Word of God and it's different, then what? Different than any other church? Hallelujah! That's good news. Hallelujah that everybody doesn't go to the same church. That would be horrible. Because God believes in a local body of believers. It works beautifully. It's a very powerful thing. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is other churches that exalt the Word of God, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do you know if the Holy Spirit is at work in your church? There are many ways, but one of them, a couple of them I should say, will be this. He will be at work in the lives of the people within that church in these areas. There'll be holy living among the people. They will be honestly concerned about living a holy life for God. That is a life set apart to God. If the Holy Spirit's at work in your church, people will live a life where their actions in and out of the church are dedicated to God. Number two, there'll be a group of loving believers, loving one another. If the Holy Spirit's at work, we're going to be loving each other. That means we get one another's names and we start there. We start caring for each other and letting it show. Thirdly, there'll be a fellowship among the believers. I think that's why I love Wednesday nights. Sundays are a little bit hectic. Wednesday nights, for those of you who have to leave quickly, I understand that. But do you know an hour after service, there are still groups of people all broken up in this sanctuary talking and fellowshipping together? I love that. I tell you, I feel like a dad with a bunch of kids. And I just watch them. I see them. It's a sweet thing. There'll be vision. A church where the Holy Spirit's at work, God will be speaking to his people, and there'll be vision. You will be tugged on your heart by the Spirit of God saying, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, go to Pastor Jack. Go to Pastor Roy. Get Pastor George. Tell them about this. I want to see this happen. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if we've not yet met and you've come to me with a vision, or if you do come to me with a vision, here's what I say. Write it down on a piece of paper. I'd like to have it in writing, and I'd like to pray about it. If God says yes to this, do it. And the people go, no, I just had the vision. I don't want to do it. No. God gave you the vision. You're supposed to do it. Do you understand that? That's important. Don't get all excited and get up to the starting line and then run home to mom. You can't do that. You got to go. And there'll be maturity. This is one of the things that greatly burdens my heart, is this. If you've been to this church for 1 year, are you stronger now, and do you have greater faith and biblical knowledge, and are you being used by God more than you were a year ago? If you're not, either I'm failing or you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. He will develop maturity. He's awesome. The ever-present Holy Spirit. In Psalm 139, verse 1, Psalm 139, verse 1, this is a great verse. I want to give you a little background. I mentioned this a little bit briefly last time, but Psalm 139, the Psalm of David. I shared with you last time about Russia a little bit, and this verse was one that God brought to my mind. On that evening of September 13th, 1992, we landed at Moscow Airport, and we were on Iberia Airlines, an airline of Spain. All these different languages. Plane lands, big 747. Taxis up to the airport. And this is right after the collapse of the Soviet Empire. There's no lights. The terminal's dark without maybe a couple of light bulbs in it. Seriously. It's very scary. Giant 747. There's no lights anywhere. So where do we land? Moscow looks, it was all so dark. No money. The economy had collapsed. They opened the door, and as soon as I touched the Russian tarmac, the Russian ground, this overwhelming sense hit me in the heart. Are you ready for this? I'm here. Oh, not I'm here, not Jack is in Russia. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he said, I'm here. I didn't know how to process that information. We had traveled 14 hours on a plane. We step onto foreign soil, don't understand one bit of the language. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm here. And my mind began to be flooded when Paul was in Corinth and he was freaking out. And God tells Paul, I'm with you. And then he's in the Mediterranean Sea in a storm, and the Holy Spirit speaks to Paul, and he says, don't worry, no one's going to die. And David in Psalm 139, he says, Lord, you have searched me, and you've known me, and you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. I love that. You understand my thoughts before they come into my head. You comprehend my paths and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall uphold me. That's your Holy Spirit who's at work in your life. And then finally, we end right here. Who is the Spirit of God? He is God, the omniscient Spirit. The omniscient Spirit. That is, he's all-knowing. Omniscient is all-knowing. And the church needs his knowledge today like never before. Church, listen, we need God's knowledge at a time like this. He is our GPS. We need him like never before at times like these. Because you know what? We know from the Bible and we know from actual experience. There's demonic activity like I've never seen before in 35 years of being a Christian. There is doctrines of demons out there. There are people that are seeing visions of lunatic things and they're giving up on Christianity because they saw this thing float in their room and said, Jesus isn't real. Oh, it's got to be real because I saw this thing in my room. What in the world is going on? As we mentioned earlier, persecution, bizarre doctrine, bizarre teaching, outrageous sins and temptations going on. things alluring your way. And then just the overriding sense of being tired of contending against evil. That's something that I've been going through. So, Lord, when's this all going to break? When's this going to get easier? And the Lord says, what are you crying about? You need to roll up your sleeves and put on some boy pants, Jack. It's going to get tough. She said, Pastor Jack, don't say that. I just brought my friend here tonight and I want them to become a Christian. That has nothing to do with them becoming a Christian. In fact, if they're smart, they'll be happy that I'm being honest with them. Listen, I got to tell you right now. Let's be honest. Doesn't the Bible say sin's pleasurable for a season? That's what the Bible says. So you know what easy is? Easy is what all your non-believing friends are doing right now. That's easy. You want to be a Christian? You better put your helmet on. Listen, anybody can be a non-believer. I used to be one. It's the easy way out for a little while. And then the end comes. And you're going to want God. He's all-knowing. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible tells us that the work of the Holy Spirit is to give gifts to the body of Christ. Did you know that? In verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, but the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. No one's supposed to have a gift given to them by the Holy Spirit and he becomes a solo artist. The Holy Spirit knows what we have need of. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we ought to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts with groanings which cannot be articulated, he who now searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit, isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit prays for us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit knows what you and I have need of. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, and they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. That word comfort means, listen to this, that word comfort in the Holy Spirit means that they were soothed, you know, comforted, soothing, and exhorted. Okay, church at Chino Hills. All right, you guys can do this. Now get out there and go. The word means also the calming of the Holy Spirit in correcting. The work of the Holy Spirit. He's wonderful. I encourage you to become more dependent upon him than ever before.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit at work in you. In fact, that is the title of the series within a series, The Holy Spirit at Work in You. It's part of Pastor Jack's bigger collection of studies called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you downloaded our new smartphone app yet? It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Happens to be the same title as one of our weekly television programs. Remember now, it's absolutely free. You know, here at Real Radio, you hear us mention things like Journey. That's one of our television programs. That airs on hischannel.com, by the way. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can sign up for and get via email. Our Wednesday night study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, of course. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that's another one of our weekly television programs. And we deal with topical issues and a whole lot more on that show. Now, you'll see when you download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone is a great resource. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, you can learn more when you visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to someone, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 1-877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.